I'm not going to speak very long today. Someone say amen. Yeah, some of you, well, hallelujah. Woo, God is moving. Let me rephrase it. I'm not planning on speaking very long today. That's probably a better way to put that, because we're going to close the service out with taking communion of the Lord's table today. We're coming to a close today to our series we've been doing for the last 7 or 8 weeks on revealing the champion in you. Revealing the champion in you. And how many know today that there is a champion inside you? Are you getting that into your heart? Thank you. There is a champion inside you. If you don't know that today, turn to your neighbor and you tell them, there's a champion inside you. In all of us, there's a champion that God has created. And it doesn't make a difference of your athletic ability. It doesn't make a difference of what you scored on your ACT. It doesn't make a difference of how much money you make, what race you are today. It does not make a amount to a hill of beans to what God says into you, that you are created special, and he has a champion inside every one of us that he is longing to reveal, the person he has destined you to be. And so we've been taking time and looking at how do we reveal this champion, cutting away, training, empowering, getting ourselves ready to live in championship living, to be the champion God's called us to be. Today I want to talk to you about the thought in closing, keeping the main thing the main thing. Keeping the main thing the main thing. Now, it's one thing, as anybody who's ever been in any kind of athletics before, your coaches that want to drill you into your head is this thing, man. You stay with the main thing, the main thing. I think I was thinking about this today, and I thought, how can I relate this? And I was thinking about how the immaturity of a young quarterback who, maybe I won't name his name, but he wears a star on the side of his helmet. And he happens to play for one of the best teams ever. But still yet, he made one of the most bonehead, immature moves of a young quarterback. He's got all the athletic ability in the world. One of the top quarterbacks already rising up. His first year as a starter, Tony Romo, you guys know who he was. He's starting for the Cowboys. They got the best record. They've won one of the best records they ever had in the regular season. Getting ready to go to the playoffs. They got a bye week because they've done so well. And in the bye week, the coach says, take some time off, take a couple days here, focus, you know, do what you want to do, but, you know, we got a game coming up. And he decides to take off and go to Cabo St. Lucas to see some movie star down there that, you know, he's dating, and that's another story in itself. But anyway, you know, and of course they come back and he loses the game, and all along he's being questioned because, you know, he didn't keep the main thing the main thing. But the thing about it was he was given freedom to do what he wanted to do. So did he actually break the rules? No. He didn't break any rules, quote, quote, because he was free to do on his day off what he wanted to do. But how many know with the first playoff game coming up in 2 weeks and almost about 7 or 8 days away at this time, facing the New York Giants, and, you know, you lost the last playoff game you was in your first time, and this is your first full season, that there should be maturity there knowing that, you know what, even though I got some time off, I'm probably going to stay here and keep myself focused on the main thing being the main thing. There's going to be plenty of time here in a couple weeks to spend the rest of the offseason going back and forth to Mexico. Me and Jessica can spend the rest of the time going out if we want. You know, it's all right. But for the next couple of weeks here, I got to keep the main thing the main thing. And it's immaturity. And that's what, you know, Troy Aikman, who was a mature Super Bowl winner, said, you know, it's just a lack of maturity. He didn't do anything wrong per se. But as a quarterback, you have the right and you have the desire and you should have the knowledge and maturity to know by example that I set the main thing the main thing. That I keep focused on the game plan. I keep focused. I should be home watching game tape. And I should be home studying what we're going to be doing. And so, you know, in his immaturity, he probably helped cause the loss of that first playoff game. Now, same thing in us, that because of our immaturity, we're talking about growing up. We talked about the last couple of weeks, spent 2 weeks of the last 2 weeks talking about spiritually growing up, that there comes a time when you grow up spiritually, becoming the champion that God has called you to, that you know, I've got to learn to keep the main thing the main thing. Because there's going to be things that are buying for your attention. There's going to be things that are trying to not necessarily be wrong. They're not wrong things. They're not outside the rule book. They're not things that are going to necessarily people say, oh, you're doing the wrong thing. But are you really doing the main thing? Are you really keeping the main thing the main thing? Are you really doing the right thing? How many know that we're a busy society? Are you busy? How many raise your hand and say, I'm busy? How many be honest? I'll just tell you, just raise your hand. How many is to say, I'm busy? We're a busy society, and I think one of the things about being busy is that we know this, that we all live these fast-paced life. I mean, the majority of us here today, we are living fast-paced life. And you think you get to retirement, and then you retire, and then what do? Then you go back to work. Because you find your retirement's not enough, so you take two part-time jobs, and then you got to take care of the grandkids, and then you got to go to the games, you got to do this, and now you find yourself busier than ever. I mean, we are busy, busy, busy people. I mean, I like to do things fast. I hate to stand in line. I just tell you, one of the flaws that I have is I am not a patient person. Right, honey? I can admit that. And I have a hard time being patient. I look for the shortest line. I will not stand in line. I refuse to stand in line for an hour and a half to ride a ride. My kid's going to break a leg and go to the front of the line, but I am not going to wait in line for an hour and a half. I just can't stand there. I'm just impatient. And so I'll pay the extra money. I want the fast pass. Get me to the front of the line because I just hate long lines. I hate it. You know, I love this thing now they call TiVo or DVRs. I know many of you got them. Because now I can watch a 60-minute program in 42.3 seconds. You know, right there. I can watch the show in 40 seconds. And so I can get through the commercials. I don't have to watch. I can skip through them. And I love fast things. I mean, I don't even like minute rice because it takes too long to fix. I mean, I like things fast, and our life is fast-paced, and it's busy, busy, busy. Today, I want you to ask you these questions. Don't raise your hands, but how many might characterize your life this way? Could you describe yourself this way? Busy, rushed, empty, stressed, fatigued, overloaded, superficial. How many can say one of those things fit me? Can you raise your hand? One of those things fit you? Yeah. Look around. Misery is not alone today. You know, there's good company in misery. We find ourselves busy, alone, you know, fast paced, over paced all the time. You know that lies keep us busy all the time. Do you know that? Lies keep us busy all the time. I want to talk to you about a couple of lies that I believe keep us busy all the time. That some things maybe you don't think are lies, but in reality, if you really search your heart, I think they really come true to be lies in our life. I've done this a lot. I believe that busyness is a part of the air that we breathe. Just like we get up in the morning and we don't say, I'm not going to breathe. We just start breathing air. We forget that the air is even there. We're breathing it. That's kind of the way our life is. We get up and don't even realize we're busy because we're so used to being busy. We're so used to breathing air, we don't think, I've got air this morning to breathe. But I guarantee you, stick your head under the water for about 60 seconds, and you'll be like, where's my air? You remember real fast how much you need that air. Same thing happens in our life, that we get so busy that we forget we're even busy. We get up, and we're going, man. So fast, so busy. We're so busy. And we tell ourselves these lies that continue to keep us busy. First lie is, there's not enough time to do everything. There's not enough time to do everything. It also has another name. It's called, if there was more hours in the day, I could get done what I need to get done. Now, how many have ever said that? If there's just more hours in the day? How many have ever said, God, if you could just make the days longer? But how many know today that God knows better than we know? How many would agree at that point? Let's concede that, yes, God knows much more what is best than I do, and you and I know. And so when he put 24 hours in the day, he did it for a reason. Okay, it's the reason he did that, and he knows what's best. And I would say to you this, that if I'm not getting things done within my 24 hours, does God have the problem, or do I have the problem? Oh, this is really easy to hear, Ed. Yeah. I wonder how many of us have a priority issue. We have scheduling issues. We have organization issues in our life that we're so busy, and we don't get done what we need to get done, and we want to blame it. There's not enough hours in the day. There's not enough time to do everything. So we take a shot at God. God, if you just let it be daylight saving time every day, if I could gain an extra hour every day, I could get done what I need to get done. I've been there a few times. I know that you have also, that we tell this lie, there's not enough time to do everything. The second lie is that it's a busy season in my life right now. It's just a busy season in my life right now. How many's ever said that? I've said that before. And I would tell you this, that there really are be honest with you, that really it's always busy season. If you're a busy person, it's always a busy season. You may leave one busy season to go to the next busy season, but there's very people who have busy seasons are always busy. It's kind of like Arizona. Arizona is what? Does it have seasons in Arizona? No. It's just hot. It's just always hot. You got hot and hotter. That's it. I went to Arizona one time to speak at a conference in the middle of summer, and they said, man, we're going to take you this great golf course to play golf. It's usually like $200 a play, but man, you can play for like $20. I'm like, great. When we get out there, we're the only ones there because it's 120 degrees. I'm like, no wonder. No wonder it's $20. It's 120 degrees. You got to be crazy. I love golf, but this is crazy. It's just hot and hotter. It's kind of like with us, you know, when you're busy, it's just that's the season it is. And not just the season I'm in. No, it's always busy with you. It's always busy in our life. And we find ourselves, and that's a lie we tell ourselves. It's just the season I'm in right now. The third lie is, this is really important. How many said that? I've got to get this done because it is really important. The task-oriented person, this is our excuse. I've got to get it done. We think, we do what we think is important, and then we pile on our plate what we think other people think is important. And see, that within itself, it's one thing to do what you think is important, and then there's another thing to be caught up in this trap of doing what everybody else thinks is important. And you find yourself busy, overworked, overstressed, and you're not keeping the main thing the main thing. And so instead of being the champion God has called you to be, you're fatigued. How many know you can't run a marathon? You can't run the race that God's designed you to run. Fatigued, dehydrated, needing rest, you're cramping up, you're going through things in your life that are happening. You're angry, you're short with your family, your kids get on your nerves. You don't even want to go to a marriage retreat because you're afraid of spending alone with your wife for 24 hours. Oh, he didn't just say that, did he? No, I know. I can read your mail because I've been there. I know. Listen, we go through times in our life when we just don't have it together. And if we're honest, we'll say that, you know, I go through times instead of, this is why I love, let's just be honest. You know what? Busy people really, you know what really is going on, busy people? There's really a lot of things, undealt with things in our life. Instead of dealing with them, we cover them up by staying busy. It's easy for me to stay busy than it is for me to come home and work on my marriage. It's easy for me to stay busy. I can't go to the marriage cover too because I got to do this and that. No, you don't want to go because you know that you need to work on some things. Let's just be honest. Oh, Pastor, you didn't just say that. Yes, I did because I love you. I do. I love you. I love you so much, and I'm going to tell you the truth because it hurts to hear. But really, a lot of times, I would say that 90% of our overextended busyness is what we're doing to cover up some things that we really need to deal with in our life, not just in relationships, but other areas of our life. It's easier to be busy for God sometimes so much that you don't realize, you know what, if I really stop, there's some things that God really wants to do in my life. So I'll stay busy serving God by doing this and that and that and that. I never stop and really say, God, what are you really wanting to do in my life? We get busy and we use busyness for an excuse and we stop making the main thing the main thing. We put all these things in priority. We do what we think is right and we do what others think are right. And so what others do is they transfer their urgency to our emergency. Other people have urgencies and they transfer into our emergency, and we do them, and their problem now becomes my problem because it's on my to-do list, and we're so busy doing things. Today, if I was to sit with you at lunch, and we were to go out after church, and I was to talk to you, what is your priorities? Many of you would say, you know, I believe it's God first, then my marriage and family, and then others, my job, you know. We all have this list of priorities, but do we really mean it? Then why don't we really put our attention that way? Why don't we really put our busyness toward that priority in our life if we really believe it? Oh, we can say it because we know that's the right thing to say, but do we really live it? Do we really put our marriage and our relationship as a priority? Do we really put our relationship with our children as a priority? Do I really put my devotional walk with God as a priority? Do I really put these things, the right thing, Do I really keep them the main thing in my life? Or do I just stay busy doing everything else and then feel good because I stay busy? Instead of doing the right thing, we'll do the busy thing. And busy isn't always better. Choosing better is better. Choosing to do the right thing is better. I think the best story we see this is in Luke chapter 10. I love this story. Let's read it together. So as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted. See, Martha was distracted. Look what it says. By all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Look what she says. Tell her to help me. And Jesus has a Brady moment here and says, Martha, Martha, Martha. Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried about, upset about all these many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What an awesome story we see here. Let's break it down for a second. We see where they come in. Of course, it's custom in those days when you came into the house because Nikes had not been invented yet. They were wearing either sandals or some, you know, something makeshift kind of sandal, open-toed shoe. And so, of course, the roads were not paved, and so there was dirt and dust. And so it was very common and very practiced that you came into a home that they washed your feet and they offered you something to eat. That was just customary of those days. And so we see them coming in, and they're sitting down. And of course, you know, we see where Mary and Martha, and Mary chooses to do what? Mary chooses to sit down and wash Jesus' feet. And to listen and to sit there at his feet and take in every word he's saying. And Martha was a busy person. Oh, Martha was a good person. She loved serving the Lord. Matter of fact, she justified what she was doing. Somebody's got to feed his disciples. Well, somebody's got to get his meal ready. So we can see her in there. I believe Martha was probably the first Martha Stewart. You know, she was in there taking some, you know, hair from a yak and making some dillies or something. I don't know what she was doing, but she was making things in there and getting ready, and we don't know what the boiling point was, but at some point, I don't know if she dropped something and spilled something, or she burned something on the stove, or, you know, if the disciples thought it was Damascus Denny's, and they were asking for refills all this time, but something was happening here, that she was getting overworked, and finally she snaps and says, Jesus, come on. Look at my sister. I'm in here doing all the busy work. I'm in here doing all these things. And look at her. She's just out there at your feet, just trying to listen to what you say. I mean, what a concept today. If Jesus Christ walked through these doors today and sat down next to you and wanted to talk to you, would you say, shh, Pastor Gene's speaking. I can't miss his next point. I got it, my group study tonight. I got to write this down. I might miss one of his golden jokes. Please, don't whatever it takes. Just be quiet, Jesus. We wouldn't do that. Of course, it's like, oh, Jesus, talk to me. Same principle is going on here. Jesus is talking, and she's chosen the right thing. He says, listen, all these things, yeah, but he wasn't condemning her for doing hospitality. He wasn't condemning her, but he was saying, listen, she's doing the right thing. I think when Martha had asked Jesus, do you know what she's doing? Do you know what's going on? Basically, he says, do you really care what she's doing here? I mean, if I'd have been me and I was Jesus, I would have said, do I care? Here's a shekel. Go call somebody else. Go take it. Do I care? Do I care? I'm trying to save the world here. I'm getting ready to go bear my cross and die. Hello? I don't care that you're upset. I'd have been me. I don't care that you're upset. I don't care that you're upset because she's not in there with you. But Jesus didn't do that. He just says, Martha, Martha, Martha. Mary's chosen to do the right thing. She's chosen to sit at my feet. She's chosen to do the right thing. And many times in our life, we are the same way. We'll choose to do the busy thing versus the right thing. We'll choose to not keep the main thing the main thing. Oh, we'll be around the main thing, and we'll dance around it. and we'll look like we're actually doing the main thing, but are we really spending time at his feet? Are we really spending time with Jesus? Do we really find ourselves saying, Jesus, it's all about you? Do I find myself throughout my day kneeling in my heart and saying, God, I want to sit at your feet as we were singing a while ago. I want to sit at your feet. I want to wash your feet with my tears, and I want to hear what you have to say to me. Yeah, I know there's a lot of things that need to be done. There's a lot of busy work, and you're going to empower me to do that. But before I go help in the kitchen, before I go help serve, I need you to empower me. I need you. I need your wisdom. I need you in my life. I want to keep the main thing the main thing. Not what my sister's pressuring me to do, but what's the main thing in my life? Part of being the champion that God's designed you to be is keeping the main thing the main thing. Finding yourself at the feet of Jesus. So how do we do that? How do we do that? You know, we got to stay focused. And today I was thinking about, you know, I go to Kansas City quite a bit with my son Hayden, who has to go to Children's Mercy Clinic for his checkups quite often up there. And so he and I go up there, and many times he's swimming or doing something else, and I'll be on the treadmill running up there. And I love the treadmills because they got the really fancy treadmills. You know, talking about the big ones with the big screens in the middle of them. And so they have all these, you know, they have all the sports magazines and Time magazines, all these things up there. And so I tried to grab a magazine last time I was there. This is not a lot of story. I tried to grab a magazine and place it up there and read it while I ran, you know, okay? Because I have to do that. I just can't run. To be running, I've got to be reading or watching something, or I get out of breath in like 2 seconds. So I gotta stay focused in my mind doing something else. So here I am trying to read, and I put this magazine on the treadmill, and I'm trying to read running, you know. And the faster I ran, the thing would shake like this, and I'm trying to read it. Running, you know, and the thing's shaking and vibrating, you know, but the faster you go, it's like this here. The faster I went, the thing was shaking. The faster I went, finally it fell off. The magazine fell off and hit the treadmill and across the room. I'm like, hey, Doug, you know, it just didn't work. It just didn't work. I couldn't focus because I was going too fast. I was getting a headache. I even tried to listen and watch TV. They got the screen built right into the treadmill. All you got to do is put your headphones into the thing, turn the channel, and put your headphones on. And I try to run with the headphones on. It doesn't work, okay? Maybe because I'm too slow and I keep getting too far back and they come popping out of my ears. This is me, okay? I'm just telling you. I'm trying to run. Your pastor, I'm trying to get in shape here, you know, and headphones are popping off. Magazines are flying through the air. I'm running too fast. You know what I've learned? I run too fast. Just focus. Not literally, but I really am learning. I'm running too fast to really focus. And that's the way we are in our life. We get to run so fast. Spiritually, daily, we're so busy. We are losing focus. I cannot focus. I cannot do the right thing unless I take time to do the main thing. I'm not going to choose to focus. I'm not going to choose to do the main thing. All great champions are focused. All great champions choose to do the right thing. All great champions choose to keep the main thing. The main thing. That's what Jesus said in this verse right here. She has chosen to do what is right. She has chosen what is best. So how do we summarize this up? Let me give you a couple things. How do we take action? Number one, confess the lie. Confess the lie. If you have some of those lies that we talked about in the beginning, you just got to confess it. God, that's me. I'm saying I'm busy. I'm saying there's enough time in the day. I'm saying I've got to do this. This is important. Whatever the lie is in your life, you know that. I don't know what that is. But whatever the lie is you tell yourself to keep yourself busy, it's keeping you distracted. First of all, you just got to confess it and say, I got to stop saying this lie. I'm not too busy. Let me tell you this. You are only busy because you choose to be busy. And I will tell you this. If you want to get it done, you will do it. Isn't that true? I talk to people, I'm too busy to do this and that and this and that. You know, and ladies, I need you. Oh, I'm so busy. I got to do this, Pastor. My schedule. My kids got to be here. I got to do that. Someone says, sell at the mall. And you're like, argh! Well, I guess I can take a little bit of time off. Guys, we're too busy to help do this. We're too busy to do this. We're too busy for that. Too busy to keep the main thing. But, hey, let's play golf this weekend. Oh, yeah. Okay, I guess I can. We choose to do. We'll do what we want to do. That's just the bottom line. We will do what we prioritize in our life. Because bottom line is we're all busy. We are busy. And so is our busyness keeping us from keeping the main thing the main thing? I still, just because I'm busy doesn't mean I can't do the main thing. But because I'm busy, I've still got to choose to make sure I keep the main thing the main thing. I don't justify my busyness for godliness. I don't justify my busyness for doing things for God that I lose sight of my relationship with Him is still the most important thing in my life. Above my marriage, above my finances, above my family, is my first of all, is my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if I don't spend keeping that time the main thing, I will lose focus and the rest will become blurry. So first of all, we got to confess, what's my lie? Second of all, you name your distraction. What's the thing that distracts you? Maybe you should make a list today when you leave here in your devotion time. Or tonight if you go to bed, maybe grab a pen and say, what are the things that really distract me? What are the things that really chew up my time? And really pray about it. God, is there anything on this list I can get rid of that's really isn't as important as I thought it was? What are the things that I'm doing for people that maybe I'm doing because I didn't want to say no? But in all reality, they're really just keeping me busy and keeping me from doing the main thing. What is it? Look at and say, what are my distractions? Name your distractions. Pray about them and ask God, what are the things I really need to put my time and effort into? And third thing, this is a biggie. I've got to choose to do what's better. Simple put. I've got to choose to do what's better. You know you're a follower of Christ when you choose to do things God's way. When you choose to do things Christ's way. That's a big thing in your life. I just got to choose to do it better. Martha and Mary were a great example. This conversation we see happening here. Mary, she was doing some good things. But he said, Martha, she has chosen to do the right thing. There's a big difference. Being the champion God's called you to be is choosing to do the main thing, the main thing. Today we're going to close the service by taking communion. And I thought, what a great time to take communion this morning as our servers are coming forward. What a good time this morning as we take at the Lord's table and stay focused on what God's wanting to do today. When we take at the Lord's table, we're saying, God, I'm keeping the main thing, the main thing. It's still all about the cross of Jesus Christ. It's still about what you've done for me in my life. Keeping the main thing, the main thing. I'm going to invite you to get up today, to stand where you're at. If you're in this middle section right here, I want you to kind of make it an imaginary line. Half of you go this side and half of you go this side over here. I want you to come around this outside aisle, if you could, and come back up the inside aisle. Same thing on the side. You'll come around the outside aisle and go back up the inside aisle. As Cassie comes this morning and sings a song, I want you to come and I want you to receive the elements, go back to your seat, and wait, and we'll pray over those things together, and we'll take those together this morning in closing the service. Come, let's get the elements together.
Jesus, she stumbles through the tears that made her blind. She felt such pain. Some spoke in anger, heard folks whisper, there's no place here for her kind. Still on she came, through the shame that flushed her face, until at last she she knelt before his feet. And though she spoke no words, everything she said was heard. As she poured her love for the master from her box of alabaster, I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. You weren't there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil. Forget the way life used to be. See, I was a prisoner to the sin that had me bound. I'd spent my days, poured my life without measure into a little treasure box I thought I'd found. Until the day when Jesus came to me and healed my soul with the wonder of his touch. So now I'm giving back to him all the praise he's worthy of. I've been forgiven, and that's why I love him so much. I've come to pour my praise on him like oil from Mary's alabaster box. Don't be angry if I wash his feet with my tears and dry them with my hair. My hair. You were there the night he found me. You did not feel what I felt when he wrapped his loving arms around me. And you don't know the cost of the oil. You don't know the cost of my praise. You don't know the cost of the oil.
Go ahead and sing that chorus through, Stephanie, one time.
I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep. More than I can stand, I melt in your peace.
today is to make our commitment to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to keep the main thing the main thing. If that's your heart's desire today, can you just raise your hand? We're looking around. Can you just say, that's me, Pastor? I want to keep the main thing the main thing. Listen, I can tell you, even as a pastor, many times this is a struggle in my life. I can get so busy serving the church and doing ministry that I can very easily let the main thing in my life slip away. So I know it's very easy to do. I have to constantly check myself. I have to constantly reevaluate, say, am I keeping the main thing the main thing? And revealing the champion that God's called us to be. This point is as important as anything we've talked about over the last 7 or 8 weeks since keeping this main thing. Are you choosing to do the right thing? Are you choosing to do the right thing? Today when we take the cup and the bread together, I want you to make that your prayer. Father, I'm choosing to remember you today. And I'm making a covenant. We do this as a covenant to the Lord. He made a covenant with us by dying on the cross for us. And this is a remember that covenant he made with us and we enter into with him as a Christian. And so as we take another covenant today, let's make a covenant in our heart with the Lord. I'm making a covenant with you today, God, that I'm going to keep the main thing, the main thing. Father, today we take the bread, which you said represents your body, which was nailed to the cross for us, which was beaten with the cat of nine tails, that all of our sickness and disease could be healed, that you willingly laid down your life for us. This bread represents the body that you willingly gave up for me. We bless it today, and we break it today, and we take it together in your name. Let us eat together. Scripture says, and likewise in the same manner that we take the cup, and the cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you and I. The blood that had the power to forgive man of all sins. No longer was the sacrificing of animals going to be necessary. No longer were you and I going to have to die for our sins. But now we could come, and through the blood of Jesus Christ, we could have forgiveness. We could have justification. We could be redeemed to the right place that we were intended to be all along. And today, when we take the cup, we remember you, Lord, that your blood was shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. May we never lose sight of the main thing being the main thing in our life. May we daily find ourselves at the feet of our Savior, kneeling for your wisdom, focusing upon you, asking for your direction in our life, letting you speak to us and us be obedient. And today as we take of the cup, we say, yes, Lord, we make a covenant with you also, saying that we will keep the main thing, the main thing. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen. Let's drink together. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Stephanie, let's sing it together.
The more I seek you, the more
desire.
The more I seek you, the more stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming. Our love is overwhelming me. And all my love, your love is overwhelming me.
Father, we thank you today, Lord, that we can take of your table, which represents the covenant you made with us. God, I pray for every person here today, Lord, that over the last 7-8 weeks, God, as you've been speaking to us and revealing the champion you've called us to be, God, we would not settle for anything less than the best that you have for us. That we not settle for anything less than what you've called and destined us to be, and that's champions, spiritual champions. Father, I pray that today that we make this covenant. And I pray that your Holy Spirit today would empower us to stay true to our covenant, stay true to our commitment. It says, we'll keep the main thing, the main thing. Just as Mary found herself doing the right thing by listening to you at your feet, may we spend time daily focusing upon you, saying, God, what do you have to say? What do you want me to do? Direct us, Father. As we keep the main thing, the main thing. And we say together, amen? Amen? How many today say, that's me today? I'm going to do that. Is that you? Yes. I'm going to do it with you. I'm making a covenant with you today. Let's do it together, all right? God bless you today. Thank you for being here. Hug your neck before you leave. Shake your hands before you leave. It's good to see you. If you have not signed up for the marriage retreat, make sure you stop by the back table and sign up so we can make sure to get you on that spot.